We turn in God's Word tonight back to the book of James, James chapter 4. The text is verses 11 and 12, verses 11 and 12 of James 4. Let's read the chapter. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. And humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that he ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The text is verses 11 and 12. Let's reread those verses. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? The title of this evening's sermon is Antinomian Legalism. And that may sound strange to you at first. To some of you, it might sound strange because those two terms, antinomian and legalist, are strange words to you, and really they should not be. But let me remind you. Separated, those two words should be familiar, especially the word antinomianism. That is what we have been studying in our series during the book of James. It's the very error that James is putting his finger on and combating. It's the error that teaches, it literally means against the law, but in various versions of antinomianism, it teaches, it's a false teaching and a false idea, that good works in obedience to the law are unnecessary for the Christian. Antinomianism takes one of the doctrines of Scripture. It can be any doctrine in Scripture, but often it takes a doctrine of Scripture, especially which emphasizes grace or justification by faith alone without works, and it twists that doctrine. It twists that doctrine in order to excuse sin, personal sin especially, to excuse an inactivity in godliness and obedience. The attitude is, as Romans 6 says, shall we sin? We shall sin that grace may abound. James has many answers against the antinomians, the main answer being faith without works is dead, or good works are necessary as a demonstration of your true faith. And without works obedient to the law, you show you have no faith in the first place. We should be familiar with the word antinomian and what it means. We should also be familiar with the word legalism. That should not be strange to our ears. That's the heresy, it's the error that Jesus combated again and again through his life against the Pharisees, and it's the error that Paul and many of his epistles fought against. While the antinomian cries, no need for law, the legalist cries, law. Law is necessary in order to gain or earn your salvation. You must obey the law to be justified before God and to earn heaven. Some condition must be fulfilled by you and me to get this salvation. Scripture says faith alone. The legalist says works to save you. In addition to this works righteousness, the legalist often, not always, but often, makes up his own laws. In addition to the Ten Commandments and the requirements of Scripture, he makes up his own laws, and he uses both the laws of Scripture and the laws that he makes up to judge other people. That's the legalist activity. Legalism shouldn't be a strange sound to your ears. However, here's what might be understandably strange. That you take these two words, antinomianism and legalism, and you put them together as we do tonight. Antinomianism by itself makes sense. Legalism by itself makes sense. But antinomian legalism, or we can put it the other way, switch the two words, legalistic antinomianism, doesn't that sound contradictory? Usually when a minister or a teacher explains these two errors, they speak of these errors as opposite extremes. When I say to you this evening, yes, there is such a thing, and it should not be strange, though it may sound strange at first. It's not a strange phenomenon. In fact, it is proper to describe antinomianism, legalism as not true opposites, but really one. They might reveal themselves as opposites, but they have the same heart. The same heart. To illustrate it, we'll come back to this illustration during the sermon. Antinomianism and legalism are like two heads of a monster. A two-headed monster that within the church might fight and fight and fight and bite and devour one another. It happens. But it comes from the same heart. A heart that is against the true Christ and the true God. They're from the same slanderer, as we saw this morning. They're two lies from the same liar, the devil. Both doctrines of the devil with the same goal, to destroy the church. That this is the case, James makes very clear in our text. Remember, James is an epistle against the antinomianism, against the antinomian. But as he's combating the antinomian, notice that he brings up in our text the legalist activity of judging with the law. In our text, we notice the phrase, speaketh evil of the law. That literally means speaketh against the law. That's the closest James comes to actually saying the word antinomian. Antinomian means against the law. Here in our text, he talks about going against the law. And while he points to someone who goes against the law, he is also talking at the same time of a legalist who judges his brother with the law. Both antinomianism and legalism together in the same text. Because it has the same heart. I confess to you this evening that we go deep today. I'm giving you meat to chew on. Meat that I am still chewing on as well. But let us seek to understand the antinomian legalist that is not only here in James, but is really in all of our heart. First, it's judging opposed. Second, it's judging examined. And then finally, the judgment by God. James knows the antinomian heart. Not just James, but the Holy Spirit who inspires James knows the antinomian heart very well. And the antinomian engages not only in excusing himself and herself for not obeying the law, but in judging other people. He says, the antinomian in his heart, though perhaps not outwardly, I don't have to obey the law, but they do. But let's consider this judging. James is talking about what kind of judging is James opposing. Let's be very clear at the start that James is speaking against a certain kind of judging, and he's not opposing all kinds of judging. There is such a thing as a proper kind of judging. It isn't a legalistic antinomian judging. There's a proper kind of judging that he is not condemning. And it's very, very clear that it cannot be that James is condemning all sorts of judging, for if James were condemning all sorts of judging, he would be condemning himself. Think about it. James makes judgments in his epistle. Very sharp ones too, verse 8, remember? Adulterers and adulteresses. That's a judgment, a very sharp one. And you sinners, you double-minded. Even in our very text, James is pointing out to the people he's writing to and to us, you are having a wrong kind of judgment. That's itself a judgment by James. Jesus says in John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There we see that Jesus actually calls for righteous judgment. Judging, he commands us to it. The world and the church world today is plagued by a disease, and that disease is exactly this, an unwillingness to make proper and necessary judgment. Instead of declaring what is right and true to be right and true, and declaring what is wrong to be wrong, the world and its court system, and the church and her court system will say, and you've heard this before again and again, even unbelievers say it, judge not that he be not judged. And they quote Jesus out of context. Stop judging, you're being judgmental. Which again, by that very accusation, is a judgment itself. Instead of calling false doctrine error or heresy, many say, let's just agree to disagree. Let's just let the error continue in the church. Instead of calling sin, sin, let's leave it alone. Let's expand what is called the gray areas of Christian liberty to encompass real sin. Say it's just gray and not discipline. Elders, stop judging, the church demands. Members, stop calling one another to repentance and following Matthew 18. Many fear, therefore, to make necessary judgments in fear of being judged as judgmental. And Jesus calls us to be proper judges, to call sin, sin. We need to rebuke carefully. In James 5, verse 20, James actually ends his epistle that way, this way: let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Here's true love: that you do make a judgment about someone continuing in sin so that he is saved from his error. You cannot bring God's word to convert a sinner without making any judgment. Without judging, proper judging, there will be no conviction in the church, no commitment in the church, no discernment in the church, and it will be the destruction of the church. There's a proper and necessary judging, but now what is the kind of judging that James is opposed to? What is wrong judging, sinful judging? Three kinds that we see revealed in our text this evening. The first, very, very obvious, verse 11, it's hateful judging. The kind of judging that literally in our text is referred to as judging against a brother, to go against that brother and his soul and his reputation. Speak not evil, verse 11 says, one of another, brethren. More literally, the phrase means, speak not against one another, brethren. The right kind of judging is to take the truth, as we saw this morning, be truthing, take the truth and bring it to the brother in a manner of love. Speak the truth in love. The wrong kind of judging that James condemns here is to take the truth of God's word and to smack your brother over the top of the head, as it were. Hateful judging, to hurt him, to get revenge, to gossip about him, to destroy him. Hateful judging is judging done with evil motives, selfish motives, to bite and to backbite. Yes, this text goes along with the ninth commandment. It's an application of the ninth commandment that we talked about this morning. Taking the law and the truth, the word, to bash someone. This kind of judging, this hateful judging, often would raise a straw man, as it's called, to misrepresent another person's position just so you can knock that straw man down and destroy or seem to destroy that person's reputation. It engages in name-calling, in sarcastic tones, in an angry spirit, often taking on what is called ad hominem arguments, whereby you don't merely speak to someone's position, but you speak against his person. It makes rash judgments without listening to him, without being patient to another person. It is not so much concern about winning a brother's heart as it is winning the argument and showing yourself right. It is quick to call another a heretic. This is the kind of judging that James is opposed to. And beloved Protestant Reformed people, I've warned you about this many times. I warn you again. I did this morning. I do it again. God's word is sharp. And it's sharp especially against those who dare to take his precious truth, to misuse it, to take it now not just as a block of wood to bash against someone, but as a sword. And the Word of God is a sword. Scripture speaks of it as that. And instead of carefully using that sword to do the necessary surgery sometimes, to swing it about ruthlessly and carelessly, not caring about who you hurt with that word. Though I have the gift of prophecy, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, that is, though I understand all true doctrine, and have not charity or love, I am nothing. James condemns hateful judging. Secondly, and related, James speaks against damning judgment. James is talking about the kind of judgment that speaks about that person's destiny. You're not going to heaven. You're going to hell. You're not elect. You're reprobate. I know. You'll never say that to someone's face. That's true. That's too blatantly against God's word. But you might think it. You might behave as though you can see into that person's heart, whether they're elect or not, regenerate or not. And you might speak as though he is damned. That's what James is against. It's the kind of judging that James combats, and it's proven by verse 12. Notice, there is one lawgiver, James says, who is able to save and to destroy. He's referring to God. God alone is the one who saves and destroys and judges who is saved and who is destroyed in hell. Who are you? Who art thou that judges another? James means in this way, this damning judgment. Who do you think you are? Let's distinguish now, carefully, from a proper kind of judging with the word hell. It's proper and it's necessary at times, of course, that if you are aware of someone who is continuing impenitently in sin, that you warn with the word hell, carefully. God's word does that. God's word warns of hell. The warnings of hell are used, but, however, the warnings of hell are used in love as a way to warn the brother to turn from his sin and draw nigh to God humbly again. It may never be carelessly spoken so as to communicate that they are going to hell. James opposes hateful judging, damning judging, and third, James opposes, perhaps mainly, hypocritical judging. That is what Jesus also opposes in Matthew 7 that is often misquoted. You can turn to Matthew 7. Familiar passage, but you need to look at it carefully and closely. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, judge not that he be not judged. And then he says this, why beholdest thou the mote or the speck in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam or the log that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out that mote, that speck out of thine eye, and behold, meaning at the same time, look, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. And Jesus points out the kind of judging there. You're a hypocritical judger. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the speck that is in thy brother's eye. Notice, Jesus is very clear. He is not condemning all judging. In fact, he says, get out that beam of your own eye and then go to judge your brother so that you can help him cast out the speck from his eye. That is proper judging. But no, not so long as you continue with the beam of sin in yours. That's wrong. That's evil. So you want to point out an addiction in someone else. Well, first, you repent of the addiction in your own life. So, you want someone to forgive. You go around telling, you better forgive, forgive, forgive. You point out the forgiveness that you need to engage in before you point out theirs. You refuse to obey God in prayer. Are you going around then condemning others who have bad worship practices? You yourself are not worshiping from the heart. You secretly watching pornography, and then you go around pointing out everyone else's immodesty and adultery. Kill people with your own words. And with those very killing words, you accuse them of murder. Thou hypocrite, Jesus says, your judging is sinful. And now we see, and we can connect it very carefully, very clearly to James. You can understand what James is talking about when he brings out, as the title indicates, an antinomian legalist. An antinomian legalist, as someone who judges others as a legalist, but not himself. For him, the antinomian says, I don't need to follow the law. It's an antinomian. And yet, when for other people he's a legalist, you better start following the law. It's okay for me to break the law, but it's not okay for you. An antinomian legalist is a hypocrite. It's the same thing. The law is for you, but not for me. What wickedness. What wickedness. And yet, if you and I are honest, willing to be honest, you can feel that old man inside of us. That old man which is, that old man which is that two-headed monster. Sometimes talking in a legalistic manner, other times talking in an antinomian manner. Self-righteous, self-excusing, pointing out other people's sin, saying it's okay if you do it yourself. It's there, a two-headed monster, the old man. And James points that out in the text. He's talking not just to a few antinomians in the church. He says, stop, that's the idea in the text, to everyone in the plural. Speak not evil, present tense of the negative, indicates the people were doing this. And he says, stop speaking evil, judging one another with this antinomian legalism, this hypocrisy. Antinomianism and legalism are both in the church. In our churches, you hear voices on both sides. But they're not just there. They're within. Let us, as James says earlier in chapter 4, verse 10, 9 and 10, let's humble ourselves and flee to Jesus for forgiveness. James opposes this kind of judging that too often takes place in the church. Now he exposes it. Second point. He lays it open for what it really is, more than he has so far. Three criticisms to expose and to examine this kind of judging. First, James says that this kind of judging is itself a breaking of the law. Verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren or brothers. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. The word brother should stick out. It's repeated three times. Brother, brother, brother. Who are you judging again? Do you remember who you're judging again? Your brothers, James says. Who are you judging with this hateful, damning, hypocritical judgment? Your brothers. And what does the law say to you about your brother? Love your brother. Love your neighbor, love your brother. That's what it says. And James says, this is what's ironic not only, but this is so wicked. When you take the law that says love your brother and you use the law that says love your brother to hate your brother instead. You use the very law of love to attack your brother. And in that way, James says, you're not just attacking your brother then, you're attacking the law itself. You are antinomian. An application here. There are all kinds of different antinomians. There's a variety of antinomians. I've said that before. There's some of the antinomian bent that are outwardly very pious people. Can't catch them at breaking any commandments outwardly. They're not the drunkards, at least known to be such. They're in church twice on Sunday. They know theology really well, and they can argue it very well. They're pious. And James says, they're hateful, judgmental spirit, their rash accusations, damning statements of others. Even if every other part of their life seems holy and pious, their rash and hateful statements of others is their antinomianism. Because they're using God's law to hate instead of love, as the law requires. But James is more to expose concerning this judging. He says, secondly, in his criticism of such judging, that those in the business of judging cannot be in the business of obedience. It's impossible. Those whose heart are walking on the path of judging cannot be on the path of obedience. That's what he means when he says in verse 11, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You can't be a judge and a doer at the same time. They're two mutually exclusive activities. Just as your heart, people of God, cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Just as your heart cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. We've covered that already. Just as your heart cannot say, I believe in Jesus only, and I also believe in Jesus and works to save me. So also your heart cannot be judging and obeying at the same time. Which one will you be? A judge or a doer? Here James gives us great insight into the antinomian legalist heart That is the nature of all of us. Here is the wickedness of antinomian legalism. Judging others is actually used to cover up your own disobedience so you don't have to obey the law. If we can point out those terrible false doctrines out there, we can make ourselves feel good. Say we're not as bad. If we can talk about all those wicked abusers and drug addicts and homosexuals and adulterers out there, then my sin doesn't seem so bad anymore. We can talk about how all of those people are going to hell, and I don't have to worry about myself as I continue down the path to hell. If I can blame everyone else, then I don't have to blame myself. That's the Pharisee of Jesus' day, isn't it? Jesus says in Matthew 23, 3 and 4, they say and do not, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Talk about how everyone else breaks the Sabbath day, how everyone else murders, how everyone else does this and that, exactly so that they might be blind to their own sin. And then they construct their own man-made righteousness with man-made laws. Man-made laws to accuse others of sinning and to build up, construct their own facade of righteousness so they don't have to think about their continuing sin. And if you and I dare to examine our hearts, it's there. How often have you and I being accused of real sin in your life, in my life, counterattacked? You do it too. Well, that's not the point, is it? But our judging of another is exactly for the purpose to cover our antinomian hearts. How often have you been convicted of sin and then referred to some man-made righteousness? Well, at least I don't believe in common grace. Or at least I go to church twice. Or at least I don't do that. And that is used to cover up our own continuing sin. As a judge of the law, James says, continue judging the law. You cannot be an obeyer of the law. It's one or the other. And finally, James explains and exposes the antinomian legalists in this way. Not only does he break the law by his very judgment of the brother, not only does his judgment of the other become a cover-up for his disobedient heart, but now third, the antinomian legalist exalts himself as though he is God. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Implied, there's only one, and it's not you. Who art thou? Who are you that is judging another? Who do you think you are? What the antinomian legalist at heart does when he judges everyone else and maintains his own righteousness within is he exalts himself as though he is God above the law. Exempt from the law. And thus you see, it's not only an attack against the brother, an attack against the law, but against God and his authority and his deity. And who of us is innocent of these things? Pride's at the heart of it. I'm not willing to humble myself, repent of my sin, and follow God's laws. I want to evade that obedience and judge others. James reveals the darkness and the depths of human depravity. And the severe warning of Jesus is, judge not lest ye be judged. And James has that warning here too. There is one lawgiver, not you remember, who is able to save and to destroy. God will destroy. You can point the finger however much you want, but God will destroy many antinomians and legalists. And many antinomians and legalists, both in the church, will say, Lord, Lord, and he will reply, I never knew you. But thankfully, James doesn't just say there is a lawgiver able to destroy, but he says there's a lawgiver able to save and destroy. There's the gospel. There's the cross. He's able and he's willing. Because though he's a judge and though he's a lawgiver, someone who will uphold that law, he is also a merciful God. Merciful to save. Yes, even antinomians and legalists like you and me. James asks a question at the end of the text, doesn't he? Who are you? Who do you think you are? And our response, sorry, Lord, I've behaved as though I was above the law, as though I was God. Be merciful to me, the hypocrite. Save me in mercy. And he does. For he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who suffered in our place to endure the judgment you deserve for your judging, to suffer for your antinomianism and legalistic cover-ups, and to be your righteousness before God. And those who believe in him, I'm not talking about some doctrine, just doctrine, intellectually stored in your mind. But those who believe in the person of Jesus Christ, a real Christ, God the lawgiver, come in the flesh to suffer and die, to save you from your sins, those who believe in this Jesus, who has not only died but has risen again and ascended in mercy to redeem you, those who believe in him and rely upon him alone, you are judged tonight too. As righteous. Not an antinomian and legalist in his sight, but perfectly righteous before him. Believe it, people of God. Believe this more than you have before. Believe this because you have to, if you're honest, with your own desperately wicked heart. And those who do, James says, brothers, brothers, brethren of Christ and brethren of James, brothers in the family of God, you are forgiven of your terrible, wicked antinomianism, legalism, not only, but you are also empowered by his grace to live, not judging in this evil way, judging in the proper way, being a doer of the law, and not a judge against that law. So let it be. Amen. O God, Thou who art the searcher of our hearts, who knowest the depths of our sin better than we, who has through Thy Word tried us and exposed us for what we are by nature, lead us into the way everlasting, into true faith, and stronger faith in Jesus, who is the only way. And make Jesus more precious to us through Thy Word. Drive us to Him, to cling to Him more than before. And make Him also the way that we fight against our sinful, antinomian, and legalist hearts. Draw us nearer and nearer in a relationship to this Jesus, so that we might draw nearer to Thee, our God, in humility. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.